Davids. We start this committee at 12:30.
I was here at 12:30 and it had not started.
thank you. We're going to be considering the bill 1766, authored by Representative Davids and Peterson, and the intent is to lay the bill over for possible inclusion in the omnibus ag finance bill. And Representative Davids, is it your amendment? I have a small amendment.
Yes, Madam Chair.
I will move that amendment then to be added to 1766. And would you explain the amendment?
No.
Okay,
I'll ask.
I can tell we're getting off to a real good start here. Okay, I'm going to move the H176683 amendment, and I will ask Sam Rankin to explain it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, committee members, very, very short amendment. Basically, it brings the bill in its present form into conformity with what is moving forward in the Senate. It changes... From supplemental reports at a quarterly level to an annual level. No big deal.
Okay. All in favor of the H176683 amendment, indicate by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is added.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, and I do apologize for my tardiness. I was chairing the Commerce Committee, which is kind of a sentimental one for me, if you will, because with the term limits for committee chairs, we're on the last bill on the last day of the last deadline of the Commerce Committee, so it's probably better I'm over here. Okay, with that being said, this bill, House File 1766, as amended, deals with ethanol producer payments. It amends existing statute to reduce the requirements. They were adopted last year by this legislature that an ethanol plant applying for producer payments after June 30th of 03 must disclose its ownership structure and principal shareholders. There were some delayed payments in 2003. This would come in and take care of that. Very, very simple bill that there's still disclosure. We have a gentleman here from the Department of Ag, and we have folks here from the ethanol industry that were able to work to put this together. And I would like it if Paul could explain the bill a little further here.
Okay, thank you. Identify yourself for the tape. And
thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Paul Strandberg. I'm with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. The bill as it sits in front of you is a result of a negotiation between the administration, the corn growers, and the ethanol plants, and we have agreed that this is a worthy compromise. The bill that passed last year required that every plant make certain reports or they would not receive their payment. And it also required, with certain exceptions, that plants be able to demonstrate majority farmer control or 40% farmer control with in excess of 50 total local control. That is gone. There, in the bill as it stands now, there is no link between well, plants still have to provide some information regarding ownership. We are protecting the confidentiality of most of those involved, and we are not linking it to payments. We are also, as Representative Davids noted, making up any payments which were not made during this fiscal year. We believe we have reached a fair compromise, and the department will support.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Madam Chair, I'd like to take just a moment to thank the department and to thank the ethanol producers from across the state for coming together on this and coming together on a reasonable compromise.
Yes. And that's good. That's very good that they can come to a compromise. You know, ethanol is one of the success stories in value-added agriculture. And contrary to, you know, what some might believe, since I'm from way up north in the Northwest and don't have a plant, I certainly support ethanol It's good. It's clean. We only wish we had one, and the time will come. So do you have other specific people, Representative Davis, that you'd like to have testify? Otherwise, we would like to have the plant, someone from each plant or representing the plants. They have no, very
we,
ethno
we can
plants.
Certainly do that if the committee would wish to do that. Otherwise, if there's no questions and there's the support here, we wouldn't take the committee's time.
Okay.
Unless you have some folks that would like to come down.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Oh. Okay. Jerry Seck would like to say something, okay. but if it's okay with the I better stick around for a little bit.
Yes.
If you make your comments, then if there's some folks from the plants, I might go back to see if I still have a committee.
Representative Davids, I was going to say for the members, are there any members that have questions on the bill or parts of the bill? We maybe should address them while Representative Davids is here. Representative Hiker?
I just have a question, Representative Davis. I will ask. Mr. Rust is here from my district, so I'll wait.
Madam Chair, where's the bill going after here?
Representative Magnus, were you late? Representative Magnus, the bill is going to be held over and is for possible inclusion in the Ag Finance Omnibus Bill.
Okay,
and we did add an amendment. Were you here for that?
No.
It's there. you have it. We did approve that, too.
Okay.
Are you all right, Bill?
I was just asking because Coonan wanted to know and I asked him.
Did that fit?
Okay.
I can read.
Representative Heigerken, did you get your question answered? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, what's your question?
Are there any other questions? Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jerry Seck. I'm Legislative and Legal Counsel for the Minnesota Coalition for Ethanol. And I'm not being required to say this, but we do appreciate Greg David's leadership on this. We like the bill as it was originally introduced, which was a total repeal. We didn't like the language last year. It wasn't part of the original deal that we had with the state. But we think that the discussions we've had with the Department of Agriculture led to very reasonable language, which you see in front of you, and we support it.
Madam Chair, I'm Valerie Jarek, and I represent the Minnesota Corn Growers Association and the growing plants that are in the state of Minnesota. Again, we did not agree that this reporting was necessary. It wasn't part of the deal when the program started. However, it ended up in the bill last year, caused some inconsequential problems for the plants. Payments were delayed, and this bill fixes that. Payments now have gone out to some of the plants that did have a problem with this. And we appreciate the committee's consideration and the chairs of the committee and Representative David's helping us fix this problem. Thank you.
Do we have other people that would like to testify for or against the bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Thank you.
You may go back to your committee if you wish. Brad Nelson.
Yes, ma'am.
Identify yourself for the tape. And
my name is Brad Nelson. I'm a board member from Exol down by Glenville, Minnesota. And Madam Chairman and members of the committee, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to come up. And we at Exol generally support this language and Representative David's bill. But when I say generally, I think this headline from my own local paper talks about Jobs E-Zones spur interest in ethanol. And to me, this headline tells somewhat of a story. You could have had a similar headline when the Minnesota producer payment first came into being. It's an economic development tool our state chose to use to spur this industry into reality. For every dollar spent, it has returned around $17 back to the state. Not many government incentive programs can say that. When you are in a business that can involve large swings in input costs and in product values, sometimes businesses don't survive intact, which is the reasoning that we have been told is the reason that we are here today. Just discussing reporting of owners and financial documents. When it comes to the Marshall plant that is still currently located in Minnesota, so is the tax base and so is employment. They're all still in the state, and the producer payment incentive expired for that plant several years ago. Yes, we all like local ownership, but sometimes economic factors and decisions force us to do things we don't want to do. Those of us that are invested in Exol invested to try to move up the economic ladder, and we didn't invest to have our names and company's financial information part of the public record. We turn in the data as required, but it takes quite a bit of effort to do this. And as far as I know, other companies that have received economic incentives to locate in the state have not had to do this sort of thing. And we question whether it's justified in our case when we have done everything that it took to qualify at the beginning. And I'd just like to thank you one more time for reviewing this language from last year that created these unforeseen situations. And in my mind, you should be very proud as legislatures as starting a program that has been so successful. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Nelson, you just happened to reference about the job Z zones a little bit. Do you know, are any ethanol plants planning to start up in job Z zones?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, they are. The one Lake Crystal is applying. I know Bushmills Ethanol up in the Litchfield Grove City is planning to get in. I've heard their Granite Falls one through the newspaper is planning to try to apply, and they're all see this incentive as a way to get into the business.
Okay. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just augmenting his information a little bit on the Litchfield area, Atwater has a job Z zone, and they have applied for an ethanol plant from Bushmill, and also Grove City as well, but they don't have job Z designation. However, they are requesting to transfer some land from Litchfield or Cosmos, so that is going on.
Good. Get that on the tape. Dave Colesrud, we have you down to testify.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have prepared some written testimony if you want to see it. I might just summarize it briefly. Is that okay?
That would be fine. Just identify yourself for the
David Colesrud. I'm the manager of the cooperative in Laverne, Minnesota that owns 100% of the ethanol plant in Laverne. And one of our concerns is farmer ownership is a fact that we fight really hard for value-added agriculture in Minnesota and farmer ownership. And I hope this isn't a trend starting with this bill to get away from farmer ownership, because we found that the biggest impact to the state and to the economy is by having local farmers own this and not by having outside entities come in and tell us how to run our business. We're very proud of the fact that we started out as an LLC, but over the last 5 years we've been able to purchase out all of our investors, and now we are 100% farmer owned and locally controlled, and we're quite proud of that. We also lent $120,000 to a group of farmers within our co-op to go out and research the idea of wind energy, and they have gone on to start MinWind, which is actually a new farmer-owned structure in the wind turbine industry. So we're quite proud of what we've accomplished in our 5 years, and we've given back our members good returns on their investment. We've also paid our debt down, and we plan to be debt-free here in 5 years or less. So I guess my comment is I hope that House File 1677 is not a beginning of a pathway away from local ownership of plants. I understand, you know, with the job zones and some of these other entities, and that's fine, but, you know, we still are committed to farmer ownership, and we believe in farmer ownership, and we are out there advocating farmer ownership. And so our position is we want to try to do everything we can to maintain farmer ownership of plants. So that's kind of the position we have in Laverne, Minnesota.
Thank you. We have a question, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Colesrud, are you saying that You are against the passage of the proposed changes in this bill?
What I'm saying is that I'm probably not familiar with all the ramifications of House Bill 1677. What I am saying is we had no problem with it. And now the ramifications it has to the plants, I'm uncertain of, but in our situation, we readily applied to it, and we felt that since we got money from the state of Minnesota, you know, we felt it was our obligation to report, and we did. So am I saying I'm for it or against it? I'm not going to say one way or the other. In our situation, it was not an issue.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Randy Doyle.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Welcome to the committee, and just state your name and start.
I'm Randy Doyle, General Manager of the Alphorn Clean Fuel Cooperative in Claremont, Minnesota. Along with me today is one of my board members, Rod Jorgensen, who's also the president of the Minnesota Coalition for Ethanol.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, again, Rod Jorgensen. I'm from Kasson. I farm there and serve on the Alcorn board. First, I'd like to thank the committee for the opportunity to speak, and also note that I have a pleasure of my actual representative serving on this committee, Representative Demmer, so it's good to see you again today. Alcorn is located about 60 miles south of the Twin Cities. We began in 1994 with a stock sale campaign. In a few months, we had approximately 360 farmers who chose to be investors committed to making Alcorn a reality. We started construction in 1995, and we started producing our first ethanol in the spring of 96. We were originally designed as a 10 million gallon plant. We expanded that a few years later to a 15 million gallon plant. We've added a CO2 plant to our facility. And then about a year and a half ago, we completed our last expansion, which enables us to produce about 30 million gallons of ethanol. To Claremont, when we came, we instantaneously became Claremont's biggest employer and have since grown to become their largest tax base. So I think that gives you an idea of what these plants can do for the individual cities that they locate in. Our plant would not have been built without the Minnesota Producer Ethanol Program. But because of your vision, you have made Minnesota a net energy exporter. And how many places can say that? But the ethanol industry is a net energy exporter in Minnesota. And it makes me think of times when natural gas is high, when fuel keeps on rising. We have a product that is cheaper than those products. I was just noticing an E85 pump, which is 85% ethanol, selling ethanol for about $1.35 a gallon. And that was about 30 cents less than what the regular unleaded price was. So that's something good for our economy. It helps our consumers, and it helps our state be a part of that production. With that, I'd like to thank you for your support. Our general manager, Randy, can maybe touch on the bill, although I would say from our perspective, we think it's a fair compromise. We're willing to accept that and move on from there. Madam Chair, representatives of the committee, thank you.
Any questions? How important is farmer ownership in your instance?
Madam Chair, representatives of the committee, we are almost entirely, I don't know if we polled that when we started this reporting, but I would say we're at least 98 or 99% farmer owned, and that's the way our plant came together. You know, for us, I don't see us changing that anywhere in the near future, and that's the way many of the plants started. But as we look at these bigger plants and the investment that it takes to get them going, I'm not sure that that is solely the way that ethanol is going to be, ethanol plants are going to be funded. It's a good idea and it's a good concept, but I think what's important is that we support the industry and to see it flourish that way.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
And committee members, again, my name is Randy Doyle. I too want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. Rod has told you a little bit about the history of our facility, but one of the things that this industry has done here in Minnesota is it's been a technology leader. We've been incredibly innovative in lots of different ways, beginning with the way we started the industry and the fact that farmers got involved in it and were able to get the industry going. But we continue to grow and do other things. There are lots of folks here today who will testify to things that they're doing at their facilities. But each one of us have done something different, and we try to add to the mix and improve what we're doing. We knew that we started small. We were going to continue to grow, and that's been our history. It's true at our facility. It's true at almost every plant here in Minnesota. And the foresight that this legislature and previous legislatures have had has enabled that to happen. When you go around the rest of the United States, the state of Minnesota is heralded as not only a pioneer, but the role model to follow for the ethanol industry in the rest of the United States. So you've created a big wake for other people to follow, and that's commendable. We're doing things at our facility today to try to find new technologies as other plants are doing. Currently, we have a submittal for a pilot project to demonstrate ethanol to hydrogen fuel cell, and we'll see how that project moves forward. But that's one of the things that we're working on. But perhaps one of the more innovative things we've done is, again, back to that cooperative concept. We formed a marketing cooperative that enables us, as smaller plants here in Minnesota, to market our goods throughout the United States. Those kind of innovations will continue to happen because we will continue to grow and we'll continue to build on the foundation that you provided for us. Again, speaking to the bill, we don't really have a problem with the language. As a manager, I would rather report less than more. That's natural. But again, we thank you for your time. Thank you for your support, Madam Chairman.
I have one other question. Are you the ones that make vodka?
No, we're not the ones that make vodka.
Oh, okay.
That's
off
Benson.
Oh, that's, so you remember that from last
time. Oh, yeah.
Shakers.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any other questions? Is anyone else making vodka?
Just one.
I mean, in the plant at home.
No.
We'll have to edit the tape, but Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I can't let the people from my district get away without making some comments. I just, you know, members, I think we all know this, but this ethanol industry in the state of Minnesota is a tremendous success story. It just is. We can be proud of it for all the reasons. I'm proud of the people in my district. It's a grassroots thing. While Mr. Doyle doesn't live in my district, he operates one of the ethanol plant in my district, and we're extremely proud of that. And I think my only comment is, as a committee, I think we have to think about what we've done, how this has been structured, and what it's done, not just for our own individual areas that have the plants, but the entire state in terms of what we're doing for our crops, what we're doing for our livestock industry with the DDGs and that sort of thing that are available as feed, what we do for our energy, and look at this, and number one, resist the temptation to tinker with it and screw with it, if we will. And number two, think about how we've done this and carry that forward as we look at other things such as biodiesel and the other initiatives that come forward to help with agriculture. It's a great success story. It's a grassroots, local issue that's being dealt with by our local farmers and by the local folks. And thank you for coming and spending the time, and it's just something for us to think about.
Thank you. Dave Easler with Ethanol 2000.
Thank you.
I want to welcome all of you to the committee, and if you all wish to speak, that's just fine. Just identify yourself and speak.
I'm Dave Eastler from Ethanol 2000. I'm the general manager there. Actually, I'm just relocating from Nebraska as we speak. I've been there for approximately 4 months. I wanted to say thank you on this particular bill. I think this is a positive move. When I moved here, I was not aware of some of these issues, and from that perspective, I guess what I saw, and I understand, I used to travel most of the Midwest servicing in my previous job, working with ethanol plants, Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, and North Dakota, and what I see here. With this bill, by delinking that to these producer payments, is that you're keeping the flexibility in there that's necessary to get the investment in Minnesota, and that is the critical thing there. You want these plants to be built in the state of Minnesota, because Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, North Dakota want that capital money coming into their states. Because they want the job, they recognize the impact that it does have on the farmers in terms of the price of their corn, and in terms of what it does for the rural economic communities, and so they see what's going on in Minnesota, and they do want a piece of that, and they are making those efforts. So you're competing for those capital monies, that cash, and from that perspective. You don't want to do anything to discourage people, and it's great if farmers can have the money to be able to invest in these plants, but I don't think you want to restrict it to just those farmers to get into this. I think it's good for your economy, it's good for the nation, it's good for the Midwest, it's good for the environment, and ultimately by doing that, it's good for the farmers. And so from that perspective, I think this is a real positive move that we're seeing here. Just a little history on Ethanol 2000. This plant would not have been built if it hadn't been the cooperative, the farmers had pulled together. And it wasn't just farmers. It was also local community. It was also some of the cooperatives in the neighborhood. The electrical cooperative joined in on this plant. They still didn't have quite enough capital to build the plant. And so at that point, they started talking to, in this case here, was the Brewing Company. And the Brewing Company came in and as a partnership, were able to make this plant happen. And so it's important that they have that kind of flexibility in there. Now, we are farmer-owned, and we are predominantly farmer-owned. At the same time, you need to be able to have that kind of flexibility in my mind. Even farmers do change they retire. Some of them over time they will die, and they have to be able to do something with that investment, and whether it's sell it. And so you have to have some flexibility built into the bill for them to be able to sell their investment. So those are some of the things that I saw as an outsider coming in to Ethanol 2000. And so we really like what we see in this bill. We're happy with the compromise, and I think it's the right way to go. Thank you.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Richard Eichsted. I'm the manager at the Procorn ethanol plant in Preston. And I just had one comment to make as far as the farmer ownership. Procorn is majority farmer owned. But there was a lot of concern about the direction that we were going there. Although we are majority farmer-owned, we aren't completely. And I recall this number of stories from the original investors that were trying to get the funds, and they struggled. They really had to struggle to get people to invest in these plants because they were an unproven thing. It was something relatively new. And if it had not been for other people in Iowa, we're very close to Iowa. I don't think we're over 20 miles or so from the Iowa border. If it had not been from some of the people from Iowa, if it had not been for some of the other companies that stepped in to help out, that plant would not have been built if it had not been for that producer payment, which gave the financial institutions confidence that the business would be there. That plant would not have been built. As a result of it, though, I think everybody in that whole community has really benefited from it. You know, we've expanded once. We've added jobs. We've added 10 jobs as a result of that expansion. We also make carbon dioxide now. As a result of that, another company has moved in and added, I think they have about 10 truck drivers now. So, you know, the effects have just multiplied there. We buy corn from everybody, not just the farmer owners. And what I'm told is that that increases the price a nickel to a dime a bushel. So everybody has benefited. And just within a 35-mile radius, you know, that's a few million dollars just in corn, additional revenue above and beyond what those people used to get in that 35 or 40-mile radius. We have over $1 million payroll, and they're good jobs, you see. So none of that would have happened if it had not been for some of the non-farmers who stepped in to help out when the farmers did ask for the help. So thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Dan Kelly. I'm the co-op manager of the members from Ethanol 2000. We have 240 farm members that are partnered up with Broyne's to form Ethanol 2000. I just want to thank the Madam Chair and the members of the committee for correcting a problem that was going to get larger if this language did not get changed. And thank you all for taking quick action on it. Like Mr. Eastler said, at the time the plant was built, 241 members are about as far as we could go raising money. At the time, Marshall was going through the problems with the high corn costs, and they were in trouble. Nobody wanted to invest in an ethanol plant in Bingham Lake. We're located about 3 miles from Windham. If it wouldn't have been for our partner, it wouldn't have got built. And I think right now we wouldn't have it any other way. They've been successful. We've been successful. The farmers have been successful. The producer payment, I think a lot of people think that when they're talking a subsidy or a producer payment, they think it's an indefinite thing. I mean, we're on the downhill side of our producer payment. And it'll do just exactly what it's intended to do. Our debt will be paid down by the time the producer payment is gone. And I think after the producer payment's gone, our jobs will still be there. The farmers will still be there producing the crop and production. And I just want to thank everybody. I think this has been a very well teamed up effort to get something corrected that was wrong. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you. Dale Tollefson, or three of you come down and welcome to the committee and identify yourself for the tape and you may begin.
My name is Sandy Tollefson. I'm from Benson, Minnesota. Madam Chair and members of the community, I'm not an expert. I'm just an ordinary person. I'm an American farmer. And I'm a member of a majority farmer-owned ethanol plant in Benson, Minnesota. From the very infant stages of our plant, it has been very exciting, but a very scary adventure. It has benefited our town of 3,500 people and the surrounding area by adding value to our product, by bringing in new people, and giving our young people a reason to stay. It's added new jobs, which in turn has strengthened our Main Street, our schools, our churches, and our quality of life in rural Minnesota. We are proud of our plant, and I want to thank you for your past and your future support for the ethanol industry and for agriculture as a whole. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'm Dale Tullison. I'm chairman of the board of Chippewa Valley Ethanol. I'm a farmer. I've been farming with my brother. We farm about 1,500 acres. I've been involved with ethanol plants from the beginning. We started in 1992 with a steering committee trying to get raise funds. It took us quite a while. 1994, we started building our plant. 95, we come online with a 15-million-gallon plant. Through some debottlenecking and stuff, we got up to about 20 million gallons. In 2002, we expanded, and we come online last year. We're up to about 43-million-gallon plant now. To be a little bit diversified, about 4 years ago, we started making industrial alcohol, which goes to the pharmaceutical, cosmetic industry. Last year, we started making vodka, and we come out with our first vodka about a year ago, wheat vodka. About a month ago, we come out with two more products. One's a rose petal vodka, and the other's a rye vodka. It's been very good for the community. The ethanol we grind, we're currently grinding about 45,000 bushel corn a day. We're making about, like I say, about 43 million gallons, and I want to thank you, all of you, for your support and for everything you did for us, and I think this bill is very good, so thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair and committee members, I'm Gerald Rust. I'm board chair of the DENCO, Diversified Energy Company, from Morris, Minnesota. I am a farmer, owner, operator of the plant. Well, I'm not an operator. I'm a board chair, as I stated. I live in the Glenwood area, which is Representative Heidgerton's district, and I thank him for his specific efforts in everything that has been accomplished at the legislature. So many of the previous testimonies have been worthy of great accolades for what has happened in the state of Minnesota. We were known as the Minnesota model a few years ago. We have now exported Minnesota's model, and it is now the national model. There are plants springing up all across the United States. What started with the 12 that were incentivized with the producer payment has now grown to over 80 producing plants nationwide, producing in excess of 3 billion gallons a year. We do support the amendments that are being proposed in 1766, but we also look forward to working with the legislature to always look forward to the options and the possibilities of continuing to grow the industry within the state, within the region, within the nation, and internationally. Ethanol is now becoming an international commodity, and we need to look forward to that and recognize the ownership possibilities and the new production facilities and corporate structure, which may be the next level. The farmers, we are 346 owners in Diversified Energy, of which 84% were farmers at the onset. We have now slipped to 83%, but that is because we experience the same changing dynamics that the rest of the world does, in that we were built when the rest of the economy in Minnesota was enjoying the robust 90s, yet agriculture was in the doldrums. So there was an aging farmer population in Minnesota, which again stepped to the plate, but we never looked at ourselves in Morris as a farmer-owned project. It was indeed a community-based project, and it still is a community-based, and the opportunity for ownership should continue to be community-based rather than solely focused on farmer ownership. With that, I would like to thank this committee the state legislature, the wonderful leadership exhibited by the chairman of this, and Representative Harder in her absence, and also for Representative Heidgerken for his unwavering support of our industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Heidgerken, would you like to say anything?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I just have one question, and I know there's been a big debate, and this is at the national level. Has anything been settled upon as to where the U.S. government's coming from on the ethanol? Cheryl, is it still up in debate?
Well, I believe that you're perhaps referencing the renewable fuel standard and the provisions that would go with that. My understanding of the renewable fuels at this point is that it is being furthered. It is, perhaps I should allow Randy Doyle, who is more involved in the RFA, to address that. But we are still very strongly encouraged that a renewable fuel standard will be enacted. It is changing its shape in that some of the provisions which were initiated by the Minnesota effort in tax reform and certain provisions for highway trust funding and all that, it is changing, but it is still on track to become a national energy policy which will include ethanol.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Representative, in answer to your question, I believe that the renewable fuel standard is part of the energy bill, and the energy bill seems to have stalled out at best. There are efforts to keep the energy bill and all of the parts of its legislation in one piece. However, there are champions for the ethanol industry in the Capitol, in both the House and the Senate, who are trying to find other vehicles to move the renewable fuel standard forward. The renewable fuel standard envisions a 5 billion gallon mandated market for ethanol and other renewables as a part of that standard. But I hope that Minnesota sets an example for our national legislators, because our national legislators have gotten a bit contentious, and every issue seems to be a political issue rather than a real concern. Things get divided along party lines just because. So we've seen some good legislation stall. It's also hard to be supportive of all the parts of the energy bill because it seemed to get a little bloated at best. But that's where that bill is right now. There have been some changes in the volumetric ethanol excise tax reform, and that's going to be a plus for our state, where we see more revenue for highways coming in as that piece of legislation moves forward. And I think we'll appreciate that here in Minnesota.
Thank you.
A
follow-up.
Madam Chair, yes, in regards to the one of the holdups was the MBTE with the California there, the gas derivative. Has that been answered now, or is that still in play?
That's a part of the reason, Madam Chair and Representative, that's a part of the reason why that legislation stalled as well. There were folks who were trying to represent their particular interests, particularly some from Texas, who wanted to provide product liability protection for the manufacturers of MTBE. This is even though there had already been a case in the state of California where MTBE had been found to be a defective product, and they're seeking relief for those manufacturers and are saying that they won't allow the bill to go forward without protection for MTBE. I don't think that'll work. I think that language will have to come out for the energy bill to move forward.
Thank you. And thank you, gentlemen and ladies.
If I may have one closing comment.
Yes.
I think we have a wonderful opportunity with the Honorable Governor Pawlenty being the vice chair of the Governor's Coalition for Ethanol. And I think we should capitalize on every effort, to every possibility to further the benefits of the industry and promote the Minnesota model as the American model. Thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, I think that.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Identify yourself for the tape and begin.
Okay. First of all, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Steve Anderson. I'm a farmer, and I'm the board chairman of the Little Falls plant, Central Minnesota Ethanol Cooperative. Just to give you a little history of our plant, we began the membership drive as 94, and it took us about till 99, or March of 99, actually. We just had our fifth year anniversary to get this plant online. We have 835 members, and as the state requested, we pulled our membership, and we are pleased to announce that we are 52% farmer-owned. We couldn't have completed our project without the non-farmer members. So without that would have been a major hurdle for us. But we're pleased to see that we're 52% farmer-owned. Just to give you a little history of the impact in our local area, we have, at this date, we've ground, well, actually, we've paid $65 million in corn in our last 5 years to our local farmers. And we draw corn from 70-mile radius, so we have a large impact in our economy. We buy from non-members as well as members, and because of that, we've narrowed our basis now another 15 cents that farmers are receiving in their pocket, and we grind a little over seven million bushels a year. So it's had an enormous impact in our local ag area. We employ 29 employees. We have an annual payroll of over $1 million a year. Again, this project was a community project. We had enormous help from both the city and the county and other local co-ops in the area to get our project going. We have aggressively been paying down debt, which the producer payments were designed for. I'm happy to say we're 70% membership equity now, so the members of the co-op own 70% of the organization. Because of the reduction in our producer payments last year, drawn from 20 cents down to 13, we did have to refinance our debt to make up that shortfall of the $750,000 impact that it had on the co-op. So we completed that early fall of last year with our lenders, so we had to extend our payments about another 3 years to make up that difference. We are doing a number of different things at our plant. We have some different types of feed that we offer to our local dairies because we are a dairy area. Morrison County, I believe, is about the fourth or fifth dairy county in the state of Minnesota. And we do offer those dairies both our wet distiller's grains and modified. And we're also doing some testing on our dry DDG too, also to add value to that. Because of the MPCA issues, we have probably a unique project in the future, and I think we're probably a little different than most of the other plants because we plan on co-generating. And I'm going to turn that segment of our project and plant over to our general manager, Kerry Nixon. So, again, I thank the members of the committee. We support your bill, and we're in favor of it, and we thank you for all your support for the industry. And we'll do everything we can at Central Minnesota to help in any way. So thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair and committee members, I'm Kerry Nixon, general manager of Central Minnesota Ethanol. Thank you, Steve. Just to further a little bit on what he said, last year's impact of the producer payment cut, along with the rising cost of natural gas, as everyone knows, was a major impact to our bottom line this last year. And along with this, the challenges that we have with the MPCA and our air emissions, the entire industry has, we looked at this as a challenge not only for complying with their permitting issues, but how can we work this to further Central Minnesota's position in the ethanol industry. As well, you know, and this might go a little bit of an inside joke with Jerry Seck here, most of the guys that have ties on drive right by our facility to their summer homes up in the lake area. Well, my point there is that there's not a lot of corn north of us. We pull most of our corn from the west and south and southwest up to 75 miles away. And so what do we do to gain the synergies that the larger plants have? We are a 15 million gallon plant and produced 20.5 million last year. And what is our goal? Well, our goal has always been to pay our debt down and to comply with EPA and all the rest of the things that are here. So we looked at this best available control technology as meaning what's the best available control technology that we should use to comply with the MPCA and help Little Falls survive. So what we're working on right now, and we're very close to making the decision on, is a gasification facility that will allow us to virtually shut off natural gas to our facility totally, 100% shut off, and co-generate a portion of our electricity up to 1.1 megawatts of electricity. And what we plan on using is forestry waste and industrial wood waste in our area that right now is basically a burden to the industry and a burden to the forestry industry. So by doing that, what we actually do is we burn the wood, create a syngas. That syngas then is burned in a thermal oxidizer, which then is used to clean up our air emissions and create the heat. We have a boiler coming off of that, and then we will generate all the steam that our facility needs and hopefully co-generate 1.1 megawatts of electricity. So in this project, if we can get this done, the way we look at it is we will comply with our number one goal of the EPA issues. Number two, we're going to lower our cost of production tremendously. And number three, we're going to keep the value of our shareholders, like Steve said, almost 850 shareholders, 52% of which are farmers. And the one thing we look at, because of where we're located, yeah, we could double up, but, you know, at what price would our corn cost us? So even though we're 20 million, we're small in today's world. We were large when we built. We may be small, but if we can be a low-cost producer, then we're going to be able to compete with anybody and anything that's built out there, including the 40, 60s, and the 100 millions. And if you take a look at natural gas right now, our costs this last year went up $1 million, and they look like they're going to be up another million this year. Ethanol prices, Randy just talked about the RFS bill. If that doesn't go through, we're still at the mercy of supply and demand. Ethanol has not been following fuel prices the way it used to. It has a little bit right now, but since California kicked in 100% and New York and Connecticut started growing, then we've had a better demand, so we got a little better price right now. But I think I just want to reiterate that the state of Minnesota has a tremendous industry that has been initiated here, and even though we took a little hit this last year on the publicity from some of our friends from the other states, we're going to survive it, and we know the state will support us in the future to be competitive in this model. And I want to thank you from Little Falls and from our investors for all the help that you've given us. And we do support the language now that's in the bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is David Kreitzer. I'm the President Chief Operating Officer of Gopher State Ethanol. We obviously aren't a farm-owned company. We purchase about $14 million in corn a year and support the farmers as much as we can. We, too, are a small plant that won't be expanding, so we're looking at other ways to cut our costs. Some of the ways that we're trying to do are taking other facilities' waste products from the beverage industry and from other food manufacturing industries and trying to help keep a competitive edge. And so again, we thank you for your support, and obviously the subsidy makes a significant difference to the ethanol industry in Minnesota.
Thank you. Can I add, how did you deal with, what, you were one of the plants that was of extreme concern last year when the producer payment went down.
Yes.
And so I know you're dealing with it because you're still running, but...
It's been tough. We, you know, I don't know how much I can say. We had a financial loss, but luckily we are still opening it and running.
Good. Thank you. Do we have others? No. Mr. Zett. If I could just ask you briefly, we didn't have anyone here from Buffalo Lake, am I correct?
I'm Jerry Sack, and that's correct, Madam Chair.
And so can I just ask you, how are you aware of how they're doing?
Could you give they were the, I think, second plant that was experiencing some mm-hmm. problems. They were just down in the Senate, I think, on Tuesday, testifying about from the Ag Finance Committee concerning some revenue bonds, which they're hoping that they can get, which because of the tornado damage in Buffalo Lake, they think it's going to be helpful. And other than that, I honestly don't know. They are still running, and they think they're going to make it, and they've hired a new general manager, and some legislators here might know as much or more about it than I do. And even if I knew, I wouldn't say anything.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Ertl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I went through the Buffalo Lake plant last December and talked to the manager there, and they felt kind of like the Little Falls people did, that, you know, they had some difficulties, but that they had adjusted and were, you know, doing fairly well now.
Okay. Thank you. If there's no other testimony, then this bill will be laid. This bill, as amended, will be laid over for possible inclusion in the Ag Finance Omnibus Bill. We need to then, before we leave, approve the minutes while we still have a quorum. And so, Representative Marquardt, you've had time to read them.
Madam Chair, I move approval of the minutes.
Thank you. Representative Marquardt moves approval of minutes. And is there any announcements we want to make on next week? Not at this time. Keep track of your email. Thank you. Meeting's adjourned. Oh, all in favor of the minutes. Approval of the minutes.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Meeting's adjourned.